Network.
Blog Talk Radio.
At once at Sephora, and then my face was red, and I was like, "God, I'm beautiful now." Yeah, welcome to the show. What are we, Lady and the Gent?
Yes,
I'm Lady Hope.
I'm the Urban Gent,
and we're wacky.
We're
happy
crazy.
Spring. I'll blame the season, but it mostly is just us.
Yeah,
this is how we get. We've had many springs together.
Yes,
many crazy semesters, but I'm glad it's finally warming up.
Toujours les printemps. I said that all wrong. Pontons. Toujours l'été is what I say. Forever summer, though.
Oh.
Toujours l'été.
Well, for you it is, because you're tan 24/7.
Yes, thank you.
You look like it's
thank
forever
you,
summer. Thanks, tanning place. I don't know if you can,
me
like,
from
there we go. I was like, if
be
you want to plug, maybe they give you a discount, something, maybe, you know, something. Anyway, welcome to the show. I hope everyone enjoyed the reruns.
Where's our sign?
I have to talk to a very special man. He was a very busy man, but I will see him tomorrow and discuss. It's okay. It's Nine Inch Nails still, and there's a new album coming out, but soon there will be a cool background made by my dear boyfriend. But anyway, until that happens, we've got my wacky... We should still have the lava lamp in the back.
Yeah.
I feel like that's
like
the
that.
Kitsch. The kitsch of us. Anyway, I thought it was kind of cool that we had reruns, so we've been on the air long enough to be in syndication.
Yes.
We're almost old pros at this. So it was pretty cool. But new episode tonight, but before we get to our very special guest, and we have our time with him, we want to start off with our new favorite segment.
Our
sounding board. The suckiest thing that sucked this week.
What's yours?
Don't know if I have one.
That's good.
I had a really bad headache today, and I felt stressed.
Okay.
There's a decision. I don't think this is sucky, but I get very stressy, and maybe I need the stress management. There's probably some people on this channel I could talk to about that.
Exactly. We'll find out next month on Authentic April.
Yes. We've got a lot of our buddies coming up from the station. I have a decision to make kind of at work, or I'm not sure, so I'm kind of in the middle of, do I go to the next level, but there's parts of the next level that are a little scary and I feel uneasy, or do I want to stay in the place where it sounds like it's like a no-brainer, because you don't want to stay where you know where everything is and it's comfortable. But the next level is scary and uneasy because it deals with subject matter that I'm not good at, which would be mathematic related.
It's all Excel-based.
But it is Excel-based. And like you said, you have a Excel class workbook.
Yes.
I could look at classes and learning.
I would say break out of your comfort zone, Vanessa Williams.
Okay.
And, you know, don't be Joey McIntyre and be like, where do I go from here?
Well, thank you. Oh, new album coming out.
New Kids on the Block.
We're
okay.
Always, you know what? They grew up so nice. We're very excited. We were fans when we were little.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now we're fans now.
Now we're fans that we're a little bit older. I don't, like I said, it's not a sucky thing, but you know when you're just sitting, you're like, I really got to think about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is if the opportunity is presented to me. There may be a chance where somebody else is better fit, and that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
the decision's made for me.
The intellectual answer to an emotional problem would be just, you know, picture that you got
exactly.
it.
Exactly. There's that.
As we learned.
Mm-hmm.
Through our many trials and tribulations with the law of attraction.
And learning to picture things.
Learning to picture, be it in the, have it in the now.
Yeah, exactly.
And all that.
Not really that sucky. Just kind of
vexing.
The headache's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to say it was towards the end of the day before I went to Yogurt Town. I have a weird new thing where they opened a TCBY by my work.
Like
and
it's
I 1986. Don't know, I feel like it's 86. And mom's taking me to the mall and I was excited to go. But when it melts, it turns into a watery, like, flavored pool of mess. And then you start to wonder, is that really food?
Yeah, well, now...
So
well,
I'm like, maybe
get,
I shouldn't eat this.
Well, if you do get sick from it, you can't sue Monsanto anymore because the president signed immunity to Monsanto if they discover their nightmare chemicals. Yeah, their nightmare chemicals can kill us.
I'm sure they have something to do with this stuff because I did look at the ingredients. I was like, it doesn't just say milk and eggs and sugar. There are lots of other big words. And yeah, and then this is a topic we're going to definitely discuss with our guest coming up. But let's do your thing, my friend.
I think, besides work, I told you that, I don't know. He's not back in the picture, but he's on the periphery, and I've been trying to avoid
right over here.
Him in my periphery. But my best friend, who I call Spencer, or better known as Dan,
mm-hmm.
who's been on the show so I can say it.
Our buddy Dan.
Had to text me and tell me that Rom-Com Guy was at the tournament this weekend,
mm-hmm.
which I hadn't seen him this whole time.
How long it has been.
And it's all coming back to me now, Celine, and I don't want it to.
No.
There's just that flood of things, and things just went dead with the other guy, and I'm back to my place where I just don't want to do this anymore.
So you're in the no thanks zone?
No thanks. I don't want to feel this way.
We'll see you on the 21st, and we go visit Charlie.
Yeah.
Oh,
by the way,
yeah.
Charlie, what made Charlie think he could match me up with someone?
He gave you a match?
Yeah.
Match
me up. I've been trying not to talk about it
because
it was like a little disappointed.
Yeah, but who are you not? You're going to tell this girl everything. Come
yes.
on now.
And so. Charlie. Okay, so I told Charlie.
Is Charlie the matchmaker from previous show before?
What the heck
again,
was his
Matt,
name?
Bad at it.
It was like.
Two shows ago?
Yeah. So I told him when we met,
mm-hmm.
he did the interview for the matchmaking, and I told him either you're tall, dark, and handsome, either Greek, Italian, or Middle Eastern.
You like the, yes.
or you're short and built.
Italian or Greek
or Middle Eastern or even ginger. I'll take a love a good ginger.
Nice.
Especially
well
a muscly one. Why did I, and you know my volleyball schedule, you know my work schedule,
you know
my interests, my culinary and sporty interests.
Foodie and a sporty.
Foodie, sporty.
Yeah.
Why? And I was trying to stay open from his book.
You have to stay
love
open.
Love Made Open.
Okay.
Love Made Easy, his book.
Open to Love.
Open to Love, available on Amazon.
Open yourself to love possibilities.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Boundaries are the enemy to love.
Watch The Sweetest Thing and you'll know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
So back to Love Made Easy. So I'm walking the talk.
Okay, good.
And keeping my mind open,
mm-hmm.
and trying to stay available. But why would he think that I wanted someone tall, blonde-haired, and blue-eyed, works on Broadway, and yeah, we have no converging interests.
Did you meet him?
No.
You saw the thing and you were like, dude.
No. We talked and we talked a little.
Mm-hmm. Phony?
No,
Daddy.
Text and
okay.
email. Oh, Charlie starts everything off with email.
Okay.
And I tried to keep my mind open because from the start, like, I was like, I saw the pictures and all that,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I'm not going to be attracted to him.
Is that the wrong thing to do? But if you're saying that, but you're also, if you're looking at someone and you don't feel it, then you don't feel
mm-hmm.
it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The blonde hair, blue eyes thing was very early
that
college.
Was, yeah, that was
many,
that's not me now.
That's many urban gents ago.
Yeah.
That was the Abercrombie phase once. which is weird. You didn't even mention that, I'm sure, to him, so it's strange that that's what came up.
Mm-hmm. So it was a mismatch from the start. Mm-hmm. And
so you guys just don't talk anymore?
No, because I'd been running around for the tournament, and he has a big show. And
is he in a show?
No, he does the makeup for it.
Which show? Can you say?
I don't even know.
Can you give me tickets? I'm on Broadway.
I don't even know. And this may be internalized homophobia, but he also dresses in drag.
But you like the drag queens, but you're never attracted to the drag queen.
No.
Right.
And I don't know how
I would handle. Homophobia might just be what you like or don't like.
Yeah.
Because you're always a drag queen supporter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a good friend of ours did it for a while.
Yeah.
I was a backup dancer once. It was very cool. But hi to Julio, if you're watching. You know who you are. We've got made a video and everything. That should go up soon. I should put our video up. A lot of stuff we're working on. Well, so was that like the one thing? And then did he say there might be someone else if you're not into that, or he just let it?
I was trying to tell Charlie too, like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm trying to get to that place. And I said that when we were doing his 20 questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to say that this has to be a slow roll with me. But at the time, you know.
Because you're not looking to jump into matrimony.
Mm-mm.
If you were allowed to or not.
Mm-hmm. So, it's just discouraging, and I get easily discouraged by these things.
I know.
Especially with the other two I was dealing with.
I know.
In the periphery.
I don't want you to, but it is up to you how you're working it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. My best friend advice is please don't be discouraged, but I know you're going to feel how you're going to feel.
All right. Let's see if Mr. Diva Bedek had anything that sucked this week that he'd like to
talk about. Yeah, let's start him off with part of our little spiel, and then we can go into everything. But we're talking to Mr. Diva Bedek. DivaBedek.org is the website, and he is Diva Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio.
Right here.
You can listen to him as well. He's a star.
Tuesdays.
Hello, Mr. Diva Bedek. Welcome to our show.
Hey, thank you for having me on the show.
Yay! Hello. Welcome.
Turn it up a little.
Wow, dating's a drag, Alex. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Oh, do you have similar opinions in that matter as well?
No, I just was listening in on the conversation. I always say, don't get down, get diva. But when dating's a drag.
Yes, it is. Literally and figuratively.
So before we get into who you are and what you do and how great it is, would you like to join in sounding board every week. We like to do like a little what was sucky, and then you kind of just say it and let it go.
Get it off your chest and forget about it.
Oh,
yeah.
So all right. So is it what was sucky today or just what was sucky in general?
In general,
if you've got something you want to just let off your chest, go for it.
What's plaguing your mind right now, Mr. Diva Bedek?
Alex and I play volleyball, so I hated last night that my team lost another match at volleyball. That stayed with me. I don't know why it stayed with me, but it's tough. I mean, I have such a great time playing at Gotham Volleyball, like I'm sure you do, Alex, and it's socially competitive, but it still sucks mm-hmm. sometimes when your team loses.
Yeah.
Aww. So I feel better for letting that out. I'll go in with a fresh mind next week. How's that?
There you go. See?
Yeah. Perfect. I feel like with that, like Monday I played with my captain and Dan Warner for
mm-hmm.
Urban, and we had an amazing time and an amazing game. So me and Jose, my captain, were trying to ride that into Wednesday, and I said to myself, the difference between Monday and the previous season is I was in the now. Like, I wasn't thinking about anything but being there, and that made the difference Monday. And we just had an amazing time. We had an amazing time hanging out after, which is very important to Dan, if you never knew that about my best friend.
Dan likes having the fun.
Yeah, so I tried to carry that into Wednesday. I was in the now. Feeling it, and I was trying to bring everybody up around me, and when that didn't happen, I walked away from that really, I always walk away from situations like that really, like, either hurt mm-hmm. or despondent, and you know the effect volleyball can have on people.
Well, I know the effect that volleyball can have on the Gotham volleyball players because I've seen it. I kind of watch you guys sometimes. It's like a TV show. Or like Alex will fill me in. And I was like, whoa. And all the stuff that's happening. I'm like, what happened this week?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something that happens in life, too, when you put your all into something or you're very in the moment.
I love it so much.
And it doesn't turn out. But anything in life can. And sometimes I don't know how to handle that disappointment.
That's part of the learning.
Yeah.
You know, because me too.
Well, I also think it's just, you know, I mean, I think the great thing about sports is just that, the lesson that you learn, you know, because sometimes it could just shift,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, in the world, you could put your heart and soul into it. It might not work out at first, but then, like, you come back next week or the following week, and it kind of turns around. And I do think that's, like, a really interesting takeaway from sports in general is kind of really digging in and, like you said, trying to stay in the moment and stay focused. And then also allowing yourself to kind of, like, you know, if things aren't working out, to kind of go through that with the idea that you have the confidence to kind of come back again and attack it from a new angle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in the bigger picture, you're doing something good for yourself anyway, playing and being physical. Mm-hmm. I used to, long ago, play field hockey and lacrosse and basketball back in my younger years. And there were a lot of times where I was really down and disappointed for something that's supposed to, like, build you up and give you confidence. But in the end, you're doing something you love, and it's making you happy and healthier.
Mm-hmm. Which can be an allegory for anything. If you put anything, like, it's like that whole thing when you ask the universe for something and you set your mind to it and you really live in it. When you don't get it, you know, you have to deal with that part of yourself that gets pissed about it, basically.
Yeah, because you've got to learn how to deal with
mm-hmm.
not getting it. But I liked what you said a little bit before, don't get down, get diva.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love that on a T-shirt.
Well, we'll make one for you. I think we have it on a T-shirt, actually, at our website.
I say go to the site, I will check it out. But definitely, so we want to say officially hello again to you and run down a little of what you do and how you got into this for all the people listening.
Absolutely. Well, I'm honored to be on the show, so thank you very much. My name is Max Zadek. I'm known as Mr. Divabetic. I'm the founder of a nonprofit organization called Divabetic. That's like diabetic with a V. And the V makes it Divabetic, and the V stands for Vandross, because I worked for Luther Vandross for 13 years.
Wow.
I started out on tours with him, working on musical tours. My first tour was Never Let Me Go, I think like in 94 or something, like almost 20 years ago, hard to believe. And then I stayed with him. I became his personal assistant. That's how I moved here to New York City. And then in 2004, right before the release of Dance with My Father, Luther had a stroke. And I was actually the one who found Luther on the floor, and I was the one who rushed him to the hospital.
Wow.
So that's when, at the hospital, they told me that Luther's stroke could have been prevented. And I was kind of confused because, you know, when you're in the state of the crisis, and they said, well, it's all because of his diabetes. So I have a family history of diabetes myself. My grandmother had diabetes, but she died when I was fairly young, I think like 10 years old. So I didn't know that much about it. And then right after Luther had a stroke, my older brother, who's an incredible athlete, we're just talking about sports, was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So there I was, kind of at the crossroads. I mean, Luther was a huge influence on my life. He was such a great mentor. He's just a musical genius, very funny, outgoing man, and, you know, just really allowed me to follow my passions of working in entertainment. And then my brother, who's always been a big hero to me, was just diagnosed with the disease. So I really, ironically enough, started an outreach organization more geared towards women. But the idea was, when I found that out that Luther had the stroke and it was related to his diabetes, the record label asked me to go out and promote the Dance with My Father album with his mother. And I just thought it was really a mistake that they weren't telling people. They were telling people that Luther had a stroke, but they weren't saying that it was related to the diabetes. And I wanted to make sure that people understood that so that they could keep their house a home and prevent a stroke or blindness or amputation from happening in their lives.
Yeah, and that's something like you were just saying. I feel like it wasn't talked about enough, but I feel like maybe now more people are, and I could think of why did I just forget her name? Paula Deen.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
you know, stuff like that where it's like you need to people should, you know, talk about it more because I feel like it affects a lot of people, or maybe people who are pre-diabetic and need to start thinking about taking care of themselves better, you know, because you could just educate so many people on what to do and really help them out a lot.
Yeah, I had a history of diabetes in my family, but you were the lady called Allison was pre-diabetic.
I was pre-diabetic. I do, yeah. I can tell you a little bit about this, Mr. Diva-betic and everyone else. Back when I was heavier before surgery and my weight and some of the weight loss, I was pre-diabetic, and that was for a big chunk of years. I remember I was tired all the time. I was, you know, all the symptoms and issues, and then the weight gain, and I would literally eat and then fall asleep. And I went to my doctor, did the whole test, and they're like, "Hey, guess what? You have impaired glucose tolerance."
Mm-hmm.
Which was pre-diabetes, and they're like, you could get it, you have to watch yourself and be careful. And so I started to learn more about what I was eating, how I was eating, how all this different kind of food affected me, and I had no idea through my whole life, what certain things food would just do to me. Like, sugar was almost a drug to make me pass out, you know, and how it, and when I decided to get weight loss surgery and take care of myself even more after that, I've lost enough now that I'm no longer pre-diabetic. And when visiting my endocrinologist earlier last year or whatever, doing the test, he was like, "Hey, guess what? Your numbers are good now." And that felt really cool, and I was lucky to have that happen. But I still in my head sometimes act like I am, so I think about food that way and how and what I'm eating, what I'm choosing, and when I'm eating it. I still think in those veins of that type of maybe you're diabetic or pre-diabetes because it's just a healthier way, you know? So I try to keep that in my mind all the time of
use it to inspire you to stay healthy and to stay on track with your new lifestyle. I think that's fantastic. I mean, 79 million people today, they're saying are living with pre-diabetes, you mentioned. And, you know, I think, Allison, like you just said, for people who are listening, some of those symptoms just seem like they're part of, you know, quote unquote, getting older, turning 25, turning 30, and you let them roll off your back and just don't think it means anything. So it's so incredible that you actually kind of were able to lump them together at one point and think, wait a minute, maybe something else is going on here, you know, because that is like an opportunity for change when you get that diagnosis.
It is. I had a really good friend and roommate I was living with who also was at the time, and her mom also was. So she was kind of, I have to really credit my friend Jill a lot, because this was after college, it was mid-20s, and she was kind of observing me at times, and she's like, "You have a lot of symptoms," you know, because I wasn't feeling so good, and she's like, "Maybe just go to the endocrinologist and see what's up," you know. And she, you know, I have to thank her for kind of like pointing it out and being like, I was like, "I don't feel so good." And she's like, "Might be. Go check it out."
That's important, too, that you're saying go to an endocrinologist, not just your general practitioner, although I'm sure they could have done a glucose fasting test as well. I mean, sometimes, you know, these symptoms really require seeing more of a specialist. And I think so incredible for people living with type 2 diabetes. Most people with type 1 are seeing endocrinologists, but people living with type 2 who are listening really should investigate bringing an endocrinologist into their healthcare entourage.
Oh, yeah. I didn't feel like I had enough knowledge at all about it until I started to see an endocrinologist. And then, I don't know if most of them do this, but mine was paired with a nutritionist that worked with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, "Okay, you're seeing this person too." And then that's when I learned so much about the food. And we could talk about that now if you want to, like, give some tips and stuff. The main thing they told me was, like, obviously you got to stay low carb. no white food. I cut the white food out of my diet long ago with that. Every once in a while it'll creep in, but very little now. And it's like I'm hardly even, and that was a big chunk of my diet back in the day, was as a pasta, rice, bread girl. And then there was like, yeah, this is the stuff that messes you up. And I'm like, oh, whoa. And to be like, you know, lots of veggies, lean protein, protein with every meal. There's another thing she told me was like no carbs before noon. And I started to see the difference of not being as tired, having more energy, that kind of, and it was like shocking to me. I was like, whoa, there is a difference. You guys were right. Go figure.
Well, I think, you know, for most people, they really recommend, like, the plate method and half your plate being filled with vegetables and, you know, then the other half is one quarter protein and the other quarter would be starchy foods or carbohydrates, like you're saying, like rice, pasta, corn. But I think the important thing is, like, you know, like you just said, is if you're It's not one size fits all with everyone. You really have to sit down with a nutritionist and kind of look at what you're eating. And I think another important tip you just mentioned is kind of being aware of how these foods affect you. I mean, so many of us are running to Dunkin' Donuts every day, grabbing a bagel, grabbing a donut. Like you said, we're tired at the office. We're just having more and more coffee. We're not really asking ourselves, what is that donut really doing to me? Or, you know, why am I having it? Why am I craving more? Things like that. I also have the privilege to work on another health and wellness program called Energy Up. I work with sixth grade girls in the Young Women's Leadership Network here in New York City. And we talk a lot about trigger foods, specifically around salt, sugar, white flour, and how the idea of a trigger food is like, once you have it, you can't stop eating it. And we're finding out more research than ever before, and especially because of the recent New York Times article about this, that, you know, scientists are manipulating formulas around salt, sugar, flour in our favorite junk foods, from Doritos to Pringles, making them, finding the formula that would really trigger in any of us so that we just keep craving and wanting more and more. So this idea that it's all about willpower, you could just stop eating, you know, it's a lot more complicated than that. And people really, I think, need to give themselves a break. And also, like you said, what I mean, you're the perfect diva role model tonight, diabetic role model. You know, they should go seek out help and really see what can work for them.
Yeah, that's one of my hot button issues.
He is a big proponent for the scariness of like food genetics. And I've learned a lot from him. And what you just brought up is like a terrifying fact, because it is almost like that's like, I think, one of the biggest like legal drugs out there. If I could use the metaphor,
food is
like,
legal drug.
It's like the junk food, fast food industry. And we all, once in a while, we all still, it does not happen a lot for me, but every once in a while I fall off the bandwagon, I'm not going to lie. And I'm like, okay, can't do this for another however long.
Yeah.
You know, but it is. And like when you're eating it, you can even taste that it's like wrong. You're like, there's something.
Well, I think what's really difficult is, you know, people are preaching the idea of moderation, especially around diabetes. There's no such thing as a diabetic diet. They keep telling us it's all about moderation, but if they really are, if General Mills and Frito-Lay are really screwing up the formulas in order to get me to eat more, then how would I ever be able to stop, you know? So I do think this is really a confusing time for a lot of people as far as understanding what they can and cannot eat. And truthfully, if you find yourself, they identified in that article that Cheetos are actually the most incredible food for addiction, because the whole crunch factor, the idea that it melts in your mouth, just makes you want more and more. The whole experience of eating the Cheeto, not even let alone what's inside of it, is something that you become more addictive to.
It's funny you should mention Cheetos. I was talking to a friend at work yesterday, and we were talking about junk food and that, you know, we were talking about snacking at night, and I was like, I try not to, but sometimes I have, and I go, what's one of your snacks? And he said Cheetos, and he's like, I could just strap the bag on my face like a horse. And he said, and this is like a really skinny, like trim guy, so he's, I guess, I don't want to say, because that's the other thing, the myth is if you're thin, then you're healthy, but you don't, but there's stuff internally going on. So, you know, his gallbladder might be falling out, but he looks thin. But I was like, do you just black out and all of a sudden the bag's empty and your hands are? And he goes, yeah, it's great. And I was just like, and there you go, telling me, and there's proof of the dude that I work with. You know, it's like inhaling the whole thing, mm-hmm. You don't even know. And they're like genetically engineered for your addiction.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
Genetically engineered.
It is horrifying. The whole concept of, you know, so many people turn to food out of comfort. These are cheap foods that everyone could afford. They're right there when you get, you know, when you're at the register, they're so available. You know, it's much harder to find an apple at a bodega in New York than it is to find Doritos. And
exactly.
It just adds to the complexity of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's our big thing with the whole ending body brutality thing. If there's anything we know about, and we said this on the last show, it's having a complex relationship with food and our bodies and our reflections.
Yeah.
And I think we both learned that even through both our weight loss surgeries, that it didn't deal with our relationship with food.
You still have to have that person, even like I said, the nutritionist or even like a therapist, I think is a good way, because you know, while you're dealing with maybe diabetes or pre-diabetes or some kind of health issue, there might be a reason, again, for the cravings. This was actually something my nutritionist had me do when she was making me do a food diary. Besides writing down what I was eating and when, she would make me write down physically what I was doing, if I was standing, sitting, moving, and then she had me write down my mood at the time. So she really, this woman, she was like the first nutritionist I saw when I was diagnosed, and I don't see her anymore, but those things have stayed in my mind, because I'll even think when I'm reaching for something, and I was like, because I'm pissed, because
mm-hmm.
I'm happy, and it really made a difference because she made it tie it all in together for me, and it was the first time someone's like brought that to my attention where it really made sense, you know, to think about it bigger than I like chips.
Well, you know, because of my history with working with Luther Vandross, and he had such a public battle with weight, weight. He either lost or gained 100 pounds. I think he did it at least 8 times in the 13 mm-hmm. years I worked for him. You know, my organization, Divabetic, again, divabetic.org, is so sensitive to the subject, and we actually do a program called the Plate Poetry Project. During November, which is National Diabetes Awareness Month, and we talk about what's on your plate, like what's eating you, not what are you eating.
Good.
What you said, Allison, about what are you thinking about, how are you, why are you standing, and just this idea lately, I've been doing research about, you know, our grandparents ate off of china when they ate, and they sat at a table. Today,
right.
Most of us are eating to go out of to-go containers that are styrofoam or plastic. And what is that really saying about what we think of our body? If we're just eating, we're not even eating off of plates anymore. We're eating out of containers and bags and things like that.
Oh, that's a brilliant way to look at it. I never thought of it like that. That's great.
It always strikes me as shocking or weird that people don't think about what they put into their bodies.
They'll
just eat or put anything into their bodies and not think of like people think I'm crazy sometimes. I love going to when we bumped into each other at Organic Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and I always check in there on Facebook, and I'll always get comments from people like, that place is so expensive. And I'm like, well, I turn around and say, well, pay one less bar tab, and you'll be able to afford the $7.50 raw organic pressed juice. How about that?
Yes.
You know, you wanna.
What are you choosing to drink?
Yeah.
I'd rather have a better choice.
I'd rather not have 3 beers at Gym Bar so I can get this like green juice with kale and collard greens and spirulina in it. How about that?
I agree. I mean, I think it's just a lot of mindless, you know, there's a lot of mindless eating going on. I don't think we're like, Alex, we play volleyball all the time. Most people are drinking Gatorade, you know, or vitamin waters. They don't even realize how much sugar is really, you know, contained in those. It's being advertised by national sports heroes and top athletes, and it's being, you know, we're being told these are the drinks of champions. But at the end of the day, it's just another carrier for sugar.
Sugar and chemicals.
That's another thing, and I'm going to use the carrier for sugar. When I was diagnosed and what I learned, that's something that I'm now so hyper aware of. I'm a label reader, and I'll always look at the sugars, carbs. And if somebody's reaching for a drink, a Snapple, or whatever, I was like, you might as well just eat a candy bar. And I go, turn that around and look at that number. And they're like, whoa, you know. And I'm so, maybe I get a little annoying with it to my other friends because they're like, oh, here she goes again. But I can't help it because now, when I was kind of learned to pay attention to that stuff, I was constantly shocked about drinks and things like that, like how much
juice.
I never liked juice to begin with, luckily. I was always an unsweetened iced tea girl.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
but, like,
when
people
wake up in the morning and have orange juice and toast, I was like, why don't you just eat cake and
why don't you just punch your pancreas?
Yeah, I was like, it's not.
It's true, though. Even like these yogurts, you know, people are drinking, eating Chobani and Yoplait, and they're advertising no high fructose corn syrup. But I mean, I've been doing the sugar counts on some of these, and it's anywhere from like 5 to 9 teaspoons of sugar in those small average containers of yogurt. You know, the number I love to look on the label right now, what I focus on, are the number of servings in the container, because, you know, it really pulls a fast one when you look at it. You think, oh, it's only 90 calories, but then, because you're just thinking it's a single serving, then you kind of look up at the number of servings and you realize it's 3 or 4 servings and you're horrified, you know.
It's not. That's a great point.
Well, it's like the tricky packaging of ice cream.
It is. The pints
are what, 4 to 6 servings.
It's supposed to be.
But people are used to, especially like if you watch a lot of TV or you watch movies and stuff, people are used to sitting putting a spoon in and just eating it out of the container.
Yeah. And I know back in the day of college, Bad Decision Ben and Jerry's at the supermarket by us would be 2 for $5, and we'd each get one and we each finish one back when we were wise about what we were putting in our body. And now when I look at it now, I'm like, I used to eat a whole thing of this. Whoa.
Yeah.
Scary. No wonder.
Around the eating and the self-image and around this topic, you know, because I did a little research, Alex. I mean, I was looking on just at self-image and just health and how it relates, how your self-image relates to your overall agenda, I guess, when it comes to your health. I lost a word in my head there. But, I mean, I found out that 75% of all women really think they're too fat to begin with. Women with diabetes really do suffer from eating disorders. I mean, women with type 1 diabetes, which is when your pancreas completely shuts down and no longer makes insulin, so you have to inject it, have an eating disorder called diabulimia, which is when you stop taking the insulin completely and you're just kind of burning off the calories that you eat, even at a faster rate. You're also losing a lot of it's also a very risky health behavior. It's not recommended at all. It could be often fatal. And the idea is that it produces, with an insufficient amount of insulin, your body's unable to use the food for energy, so it breaks down the fat and muscle tissue and tries to eliminate excess sugar through frequent urination. And what happens is you could have a dramatic weight loss with that. So a woman living with type 1 could literally lose 15 pounds before a wedding anniversary or their school formal by taking on this risky behavior. But people should know that risky behavior could lead to blindness, neuropathy, strokes, and or kidney failure. And then women with type 2 diabetes who tend to be more overweight, you know, they often have a lack of sexual desire or libido, a loss of libido. And they also might have problem having an orgasm because they are dealing with neuropathy, which is when you have that lack of sensation, obviously. So the idea here is, if you're not feeling good about yourself to begin with, how would you even trigger the idea of wanting to feel better about your health? You know, because we really do believe this at Divabetic. You really have to feel good about yourself and wanting in order to improve your health. And so the idea that people, you know, I think the idea that we have a lot of self-loathing going on, that we're not feeling good about ourselves. We're not really looking at how. We might not be looking at the impact of how it's affecting us, and it might come out in our food choices like we were just talking about. I mean, not only is it complicated to determine how many servings you're eating, if that contains sugar or not, if that's the right thing. But you also might be doing it just out of reckless abandon because you're just not feeling good about yourself, or like you described earlier, Allison, just feeling tired or not even knowing why and turning to food, right?
Exactly, yep, and that's what it was like. And that's a great thing and a point that you guys are doing there, stevabedick.org, is when I was looking through the website, it just tells, like, positive and glamorous, and the body imaging is so huge because it has to start, we've discussed this on many other shows, it has to start internally first with you if anything's going to grow and change. And once you start feeling healthier, you'll make healthier decisions. Once you start, you know, feeling happier, you'll, you know, that'll grow into that. But you have to
and
be
I
positive.
Think people have to have that quick trigger. They have to do something, you know. I think sometimes people are still wondering, like, well, how is that going to happen? What's going to trigger me to suddenly start feeling good about myself? This is where I feel like for a lot of women, it could be as simple as going out, and I always tell women to go buy those nail decal stickers because there's like a pack is relatively cheap. It comes with a million different stickers. Most women love crazy nail art. That's one way just to boost your spirit right now. Whether you're chewing your nails or they're uneven or whatever, you can put a sticker on it and call it a day. For guys, it might be a little bit more difficult to immediately feel good about yourself, but that could just be buying, allowing yourself to buy some better grooming products or actually treating yourself to some grooming products that could begin to manifest that change. It doesn't. That we're not telling people that you have to just wake up, you know, loving yourself every minute, but the idea is to just invest a little bit more time in yourself and maybe follow up on a hobby or join like a volleyball team like Alex and I did, or follow another hobby like you mentioned, lacrosse and field hockey. I mean, there's so many sports available to people today. Sometimes doing something social like group exercise could trigger you just to feeling better too, because you get to talk to people. It's not just you working out with weights or going for a run. It's you hanging out with people and getting to, I'm sure Alex would agree, just getting to meet and make a lot of great new friends.
Exactly. Yeah, the social aspect always helps. And then, and I know through you guys, you do like some outreach and stuff like that. So you've got like probably like a big community of people that you talk to, or, you know, stuff like that, where I watch the videos and you're out in the public talking to people. That's like the way to do it, and to get everyone involved and kind of excited about being happier and healthier. And
well, we like to say we are making over your diabetes. For several years, I had the opportunity to travel to like 20 major cities and really host, for women specifically, these makeover events, where I felt like because of my experience working with Luther and his backup singers were Lisa Fisher and Ava Cherry, every time before a show, he would hire professional hairstylists and makeup artists to make the girls over for the show, because he thought if they felt good about themselves, they would put on the best performance. And I could see that once you had a makeover experience, Allison, like one-on-one, someone touching your hair, fixing your makeup, that kind of boosted your confidence. And that was a great opportunity, in my opinion, to introduce you to a friendly healthcare professional to talk about something that you might not want to talk about, like in my case with diabetic diabetes. So we actually went, and we've outreached to thousands of women kind of putting on this program. Men are able to attend as well. And on top of doing free hair, makeup application, manicures, we also provide mini massage, so men have an opportunity for self-pampering as well. And this year, I'll be going to Philadelphia with that, and Pittsburgh, that program in Pittsburgh in November. And I'm also going around the country, like you said earlier, I love to do videos and raise awareness for diabetes in a fun new way by going to places that people don't expect us to be, because diabetes is everywhere, so I think I should be expected to be there. But I really like to go and just raise the visibility for diabetes in a fun new way and let people kind of express not only their successes but their struggles as a way for us to just kind of raise awareness and kind of create community around the idea that a lot of us are in the middle of it.
No, that's perfect. I love the whole makeover thing. And in general, I I feel like I'd always want one.
Yes.
Because it's fun. And it does, you kind of feel like a celebrity. Like, even when I go get my hair cut or something, it just, you feel better, you know?
Well, yeah, I know. I'm feeling dumpy because I haven't been able to get a mani-pedi lately.
I'm a little shaggy, yeah.
And my eyebrows are out of control.
I had one done this weekend, and I went to a one of those, like, quickie places.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the gel, because that's a little pricey right now. But it just felt nice to have your cuticles cut, everything shaved, and a little fresh polish. And yeah, and then I was like, ooh, with my nails the whole time. And that's a great idea, and that's where it starts. It's like a physical thing to bring out how you feel mentally and to go from there.
Well, that's also
And people, wait, Alex, people with who are listening who have diabetes, you know, you could have a safe manicure, pedicure. We do have the guidelines on our website for that. So if people are thinking about having a manicure or pedicure who have diabetes, they should definitely do a couple quick things just to make sure that they're taking care of their health when they do that pampering service.
Right, exactly.
But that goes along with, I mention a lot, Cheryl Richardson from Hay House. She has a book called The Art of Extreme Self-Care, which I read in like 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step was look in the mirror and tell yourself, I love you. And until you get used to it and without feeling silly.
Yeah.
But one of the other tenets is also learn to groom and take care of yourself, because that is showing an external act of making yourself feel better. Your subconscious and your brain listens to that and sees that, and it receives it as an act of love towards yourself. It's an act of self-love. So even little things like that could build the foundations of learning to get to that point where you really love yourself.
Exactly.
To really build the foundation to where you love yourself, and then it becomes natural. It becomes your instinct to do that instead of the doubt and the self-hate and, you know, not liking the reflection and all that.
Yeah, which we're trying to erase, that's for sure.
That's for us,
But we got some time left, and I know you were talking about the fun ways to do outreach and get people to learn about the knowledge.
One second before. Lisa Fisher, was that the Lisa Fisher of the How Can I Ease the Pain fame?
Absolutely, and that's Lisa Fisher who sang backup for, she sang backgrounds for the Rolling Stones for years. I think she still does. She's going to be featured in a new movie that made its premiere at Sundance Festival this year called 25 Feet from Stardom. It features all the top backup singers, background singers, as you'd like to say, for Prince, Sting, Rolling Stones, Aretha Franklin, several of Luther's background singers are featured in that movie. I think Bruce Springsteen. So it's a great. Lisa Fisher is an amazing woman. I've worked with her many times. She would come to the hospital after Luther's stroke, and she would do singing lessons with Luther, which was just great.
That's awesome.
A Grammy Award-winning artist taking time out of her busy schedule to work with Luther after the stroke, because that's an amazing song. People should check it out.
How Can I Ease the Pain is one of my favorite songs.
And we both love Melba Moore. We should mention, I did interview Melba Moore, and Alex, you were on my podcast about that. Melba Moore, another incredible person. I mean, for people struggling, I wanted her on the show. The interview I did with her was really talking about all the personal issues she's had to do and the things she's had to overcome to get back up on stage and do the things she loves. I mean, so many people we know struggle with finding a passion in their lives, and here she was always passionate about performing and singing, but it was those other things in her personal life, her relationship with her husband, that really were her downfall, and how she overcame that to get back to what she loved. I just think it's inspirational for anyone who feels like they're struggling listening tonight. Definitely find inspiration from Melba Moore.
That's why we titled it Standing Right Here.
So as we've got some few seconds left, I want to play a game. I love the game that you play when you go out into the public and do serve, taste, or trash.
Yes, I do. Are we ready to play?
Yay!
All right, I guess you guys are on camera. I'm not on camera, but I'll say it anyhow. In my mystery bag, Allison and Alex, I have three fruits and vegetables. You have to tell me which one you would serve to the rest of us, which one you would taste for yourself, and which one you would trash. Are you ready for your three options?
Yes.
All right, your options tonight are Jerusalem artichokes, oranges, and kale. Allison, which one would you serve?
I would serve the kale because I cook that a lot and I know what to do with it.
What's your favorite way to serve it?
I actually make, and I did this for my boyfriend and I a few weeks ago, I make a kale lasagna with ground turkey, and the kale is a substitute for noodles.
I love it.
It comes out really nice. You really don't even miss the pasta, I'm telling you.
Are we going to blog about your recipe later? That sounds good.
I'll
blog
it
for
it. I'm an Italian. If we can handle that, then that means it's pretty good.
I love it. And Alex, which one would you serve?
I would serve the kale, too, because I make kale a lot also. But I make it with collards and Swiss chard with some garlic and some garam masala to make it spicy. And I use that as a side dish or my main veggie if I'm making like a steak or something at home. So I did that when I started to do that when I read The Body Ecology Diet by Donna Gates and started to beef up my veggies on my plate.
Well, both of those recipes sound delicious, but I'm right now in love with kale chips. I can't get enough of them.
Yeah.
I think that's like the most fun way to have kale. If you don't like kale, that's an easy way to enjoy it. Allison, which one would you taste? You have oranges and Jerusalem artichokes to choose from.
I taste the artichoke, but I've never cooked an artichoke for myself, but I've always wanted to learn.
A Jerusalem artichoke?
Yeah. Are they different from regular? Again, I'm thinking of hearts and the oil because I'm a guinea. But, yeah, I don't know. You can't just pop that off and taste it, though. You need to, like, do something to it.
A lot of people make them in soup, but we're going to have a Chef Robert Lewis on my upcoming Serve, Taste, or Trash podcast, and which is Tuesday, and he'll be talking about how you could roast the Jerusalem artichokes. They're pretty delicious. I just found out about them when I was in South Carolina visiting a farmer's market. Alex, which one would you taste?
I did the same thing because Jerusalem artichokes have been in smoothies I've had, and they've also been on Chopped.
Oh.
The Food Network.
So they're a celebrity vegetable. I love that. Oh, my gosh. So what's going to happen to the orange, Allison?
I know it has a ton of sugar, so I wouldn't want to eat it anyway. So I have to get rid of it.
Same for me.
You're going to trash it?
I saved the peel to boil with some cinnamon and cloves on the back burner of my stove and make my house smell nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Why are you trashing it, Alex?
The sugar content. It's why I don't eat bananas too, because the glycemic index and it goes.
I think the thing about fruit in general, like with a high sugar content, is like, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, no one reaches for the scrawny orange. We always go for the big one. And, you know, when you're looking at these oversized oranges, especially like or apples at Fairway Market, you really have to look at that and realize it's more than one serving. It's at least two. And, you know, you could easily quarter an orange and not feel like you have to eat the whole thing or an apple and still be able – a lot of people with diabetes could still enjoy – or should enjoy all the fruits they love because some of them are so high in fiber as well. But definitely the portion is important when you look at nature's offerings because they don't come packaged for us.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've always switched to grapefruit.
I like to taste
like
better,
it's like 1979.
Your grapefruit and your...
You have my tab.
Your yellow tile kitchen.
Part of a balanced breakfast.
Oh my gosh, we had so much fun with you.
Yeah.
I gotta meet you in person. I gotta roll out to some Gotham event so I can give you a hug.
Or come to the Easter parade this weekend. I'm going to be at the Easter parade on Fifth Avenue, playing Serve, Taste, or Trash. And everyone could join us, or they could tune into my podcast Tuesday night. I'm on Blog Talk Radio as well. And or definitely check out the videos on divabedic.org. It was so much fun being on the show tonight. Thank you.
I love watching those videos. Thank you, Mr. Diva Bedic. That's right, divabedic.org. Happy 8th anniversary also to you guys.
Woohoo!
We also have to do that cleanse, man.
Yes, we do. I mean, the funny thing is, like, I took my volleyball team to the Organic Avenue to introduce them to those juices, and that's where I saw you, Alex. That was great.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, and also I have my friend Dean wants to do a community cleanse, but they're having the one-day cleanse special for $55 where they even give you a cooler and they give you a day supply. Maybe you could start off like that.
Yeah.
To it.
You guys will be my guinea pigs,
yes.
And if it works, I'm going to try that, because I've always wanted to, but I've been a little nervous about cleansing
it.
It will make me go loopy or not.
It does. I've done them before.
I think
I've
you need to stay home when that happens.
Yeah.
You don't, like, go out into the public.
Yeah, so.
Awesome.
Anyway.
Thank you so much for coming on, and I know we'll be talking to you again. Again, it's Mr. Diva Bedic, divabedic.org. Listen to him, Diva Talk Radio and Blog Talk Radio. And go ahead, plug your Easter parade, too, that you're going to be at this weekend in the city.
I'll be at the Easter parade.
Yeah, I forget that Easter. Recovering Catholic.
Oh, awesome. All right, look for him. Watch the videos. You can donate on the website. There's games. There's outreach. Go and support. It's a great place. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you. All right.
Oh, my God. Good show.
Yeah.
I hope you guys learned a lot. We like, you know, passing on the knowledge. And,
yes.
You know, it's great to just go on there and find out stuff for yourself, whether you have it or not. It's just like a healthy way to think and live anyway, you know, and I think that can help for everybody out there. And we'll be posting our recipes. I'll find the kale one that I found and repost it. I'm telling you. Low carb lasagna, it can happen, and it won't make you sad.
Also, this was like our prequel to Authentic April coming up next month, where we're having hosts from Authentic You come on our show and tell you what they're about and tell us what we're about, because we don't know sometimes.
We also like to do the tell me about me.
Because we're gonna have Mia. First of all, we're work in progress.
Yes.
The passion used to how to ignite our passions. And
she'll
then,
be coming up next week.
Mm-hmm, then we'll have Susan Turnbull, who is my human design coach.
Yes.
Who does this whole thing
we'll
about.
Learn a little more about that.
Yeah, what you're designed with. Then we'll have Janet, our astrologer.
I think we're getting a chart
We're getting a
done
chart done. Charlie the Matchmaker is going to be on that show, too.
Awesome.
And the birthday, they're both 420, so they'll be sharing their astrological birth chart with us and see why they are the way they are. And Janet's doing one for me too.
Yep.
And then we'll have CJ Martis, our resident angel reader,
the very famous CJ
author, angel reader. So if you ever wanted to connect with the other side, that would
definitely be your lady. It's going to be a really cool show. You want to listen to that? You want to call in, talk with her?
And someday we'll have Michelle come on.
Michelle's been our producer, and she has so much going on. She helps us so much. We love her for it. Ooh, we're definitely two of her biggest fans.
Yes, but then May we'll have more guests and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of good things coming up.
As we find out who we are.
As we evolve.
The evolution of us. And ending our hashtag body brutality.
Hashtag everything.
Hashtag everything.
As I wrote it down everything. This time.
Hashtag,
here it goes.
There we go. Hashtag everything.
Yep.
It's not a number sign anymore.
For all the people that get cranky. Here it is.
You know, and sign a petition to defeat this Monsanto thing.
Exactly.
It's going to kill you and your kids eventually.
That's terrifying.
You think I'm crazy, but just you wait. If we don't stop them now. We're all doomed.
Exactly. And there's our positive ending. If we don't stop them now, we're all doomed. We'll put that on the T-shirt.
Yeah.
That'll be our first T-shirt.
Monsanto, if we don't stop them now, we're all doomed.
There will be Lady in the Jet merchandise.
Yes.
We, of course, talked about this during the first show. But just look out for how things are going to change and get even better coming up. Thank you so much for watching and listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yes.
Push the button, Michelle.
4-4, yes.
teeth.